Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I propose a new law. I think there should be a sign over every tattoo parlor's door that says, "Think before you ink." Do you really want to carry your girlfriend's name on your right shoulder for the rest of your life? Probably not. Tattoo removal has become really big business. And the more of our tattooed generation gets tattooed, the more of them are experiencing what they call tattoo regret syndrome. According to a 2018 Harris survey poll, a number of Americans with tattoos are reconsidering, and they are considering and removing their tattoos. It is on the rise like it has never been seen before. And my point here is, it is not cheap. To remove a single tattoo can take up to 12 sessions, spread out over the course of almost 2 years, each treatment running between $100 and $400. People are starting to regret those college decisions. It makes sense. I am not the same person I was when I came here 11, 12 years ago. I'm not the same person I was in high school. I'm not the same person I was in college in 10, 15 years, 30 years. Chances are, I'll look at things a little bit differently than I do now. This is what happens. We grow. We mature, hopefully. We go on spring vacation and we regret things. My question is, if our regrets showed up as tattoos, what might we look like? What pictures would we see in the mirror? Would you see the face of somebody that you hurt? The amount of money that we wasted? Were all those woulda, couldas, and shouldas made permanent upon our body, would we be proud of that? I could have been a better father. I should have paid closer attention. I could have been a better student. I really should have worked harder on my Greek after I got out of school. If you dig around in the basement of your life, what would you find? Wasted years? Obsessive greed? Destructive diversions? Anger? Arrogance? Selfishness? Racial slurs? What can we do with all of our unwanted marks? Well, there's a couple of things we can do with them to begin with. Number one, we can be defensive. The cool thing about being defensive is that we don't have to really admit anything. We don't have to tell anybody anything. We can just keep those skeletons locked tightly in that secured room in the back of our mind. We seek innocence, not forgiveness. We reduce everything down to one goal: keep the secret hidden. Cover it up. Don't address it. Don't admit it. Do whatever you can, but under no circumstances are we ever going to confess it, because we're being defensive. When we see the marks of regret, another option, instead of being defensive, is that we can be defeated. We can surrender. When we're defeated, we feel as though we don't make mistakes. It feels like we are the mistake. Right? I don't have alcoholism. I'm an alcoholic. I don't struggle with my weight. I'm fat and disgusting. It's not that I fouled up. It's that I am a foul up. We beat ourselves up again and again, repeatedly. We're filled with blame and shame, and then we ourselves take on the role of judge, jury, and accusing attorney, and the verdict is guilty. It's always guilty. Forever guilty. Defensive people hide their marks. Defeated people just replay them in their minds over and over again. There is a better way. We can be delivered. We can be delivered from our ugly marks. As we begin Lent on this Ash Wednesday, we also begin a sermon series called Witnesses to Christ. And the first person who helps us see Christ and follow Him clearly in John's Gospel is John the Baptist. And what does John the Baptist have to say about defensiveness, about our sin, or being defeated about sin? John the Baptist gives us a very easy, a very clean, a very clear word. Behold! Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When it comes to our ugly marks of our sin, we can be delivered. See! This is what John the Baptist says. He says, behold! Literally, it means to see. The verb can be translated as look. You can say gaze or stare. Take note. Behold sort of means this is the gist of what I'm saying. This is the major point of my argument. John starts off with that. Behold. See. Both in John chapter 1, verse 27 and John chapter 1, verse 36, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God. This is no ordinary lamb. This is the Passover lamb promised by our Lord God. John uses the word Passover 11 times in his gospel. 11 times. The entire gospel structured to help us to see this, to behold this, to gaze upon our Savior, to take note of Christ, the Passover lamb of God. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 says the Passover lamb will be a male lamb, perfect, spotless, without blemish. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7 says the Israelites are to place that Passover's lamb's blood upon the sides and the tops of the door frames. This blood would set Israel free. Free from bricks, free from whips, free from Pharaoh's bag of tricks. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The verb take away is present tense. It's important to remember that this is present tense, meaning that Christ is still taking away our sin. Today, He takes away. Tomorrow, He takes away. Next week, next month, He takes away. What does He take away? He takes away the sin of the world, and that includes your sin too. Your ugly, sinful, your shameful sin, your haunting sin. But Christ not only takes your sin, He also takes your guilt. He also takes your shame. Guilt is what we feel over the things that we've done that we weren't supposed to do. Shame is what we feel when someone has wronged us. I know it's a subtle difference, but it bears in mind. Christ removes the sin, the guilt, and the shame. We know what it feels like to be publicly shamed, to be branded by divorce, to be marked by a handicap, saddled with poor parents, crushed because of a child's arrest or ill behavior in public. We can feel stigmatized because we have lost our job, because we have lost our spouse, because we've lost our home or our life savings, and now everybody knows about it. But we also suffer private shame as well. I'm sure we've all felt that as well. Maybe you've been pushed to the edge by an abusive spouse, molested by a perverted parent, seduced by a sneaky supervisor, or teased mercilessly by kids in your high school, sometimes even your friends, most of whom had no idea the damage that they did to you. And they will never know. But you know. You feel it. You carry it with you. Even today, it's enough to bury us in shame, to put our hands over our eyes and our ears, to splash water upon our face and think, I'm just going to soldier along. And we drive along for a while, but nothing then is there to take away our shame, and there's nothing there to take away our guilt. Sin has marked us, and that's it. That's the end of the story. But you're wrong. You don't have to drink away your sin. You don't have to work away your sin. You don't need to explain away your sin. You don't need to eat away your sin or cry your sin away or bury your sin away. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I know sometimes this might be hard to believe. Many of us have carried our ugly marks for so long we can't imagine life without them. Maybe we can't imagine it, but God can and does. And he does more than just imagine it. God actually takes that sin away, just as he tells us. He sends John the Baptist, who says, "Look, see, behold, gaze upon the Lamb of God." Herein lies the whole point of what I'm saying. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this gift is for you. It's yours. This Lamb was given for you. And so we pray, "Lord Jesus, take this away." And Jesus did. Tell Jesus what you saw. Tell Jesus what you said. Tell Jesus what you took. Tell Jesus how you feel. Tell Jesus what you thought. And pray that Jesus takes that as often as you need to. Once a day, once a week, once a month, three times a day if need be. Hold nothing back. There is no guilt so ancient that it cannot be relieved by the forgiveness of sins. There is no guilt that is too recent that cannot be received by Jesus. There is no shame too evil or too insignificant. There are no marks too malicious that they cannot be removed. Please, Jesus, take away my sin and my guilt and my shame. We're tempted to say, "Jesus, take it all away. I'm such a loser." You're not a loser. You're not. And I don't care what everybody else said in junior high. You're not. You are a baptized child of God. You have been claimed by the Lord of life, and you need grace. And you need grace because you're a bad person. But quite frankly, saying you're just a bad person, that's probably, it's too broad of a term. You need grace for losing your patience at a meeting and calling your coworker a creep. There it is. That's pretty self-sufficient. Let us confess that. Let us put that before our Lord and take that ugly mark away. You see, confession is not a punishment for sin. Confession names sin so that it can be exposed by the amazing grace of God. Be firm in your prayer. Satan traffics in shame and guilt, and he's not going to give up without a fight. And say unto Satan, "I left my sin with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You have no power here. Take your ugly accusations and go." It's time for a clean start, a fresh slate, a new beginning. That's what Lent is about. We need not be defensive. We need not be defeated. For today we have been delivered by the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And we do that by looking at God's mark. Yes, God has marks as well. His marks on his hands. Look, behold, see, gaze, hear. This is the point of what I'm saying. Jesus says, "I have engraved you upon the palms of my hands." Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. Jesus has your name written where it counts, where he can always see it. Your name in the blood-stained hands of Jesus. Yes, your Lord loves you that much. Have you ever wondered how God would react when guilt and shame has been cornered? Have you ever wondered how God feels when you are lost and when you are abandoned, when you feel helpless? Have you ever wondered what God would do if you've ever found out about it all? Then frame all of these words and hang these words upon your wall in biggest letters as you can get them. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Trust these words. Believe these words. These words are for you. This is the entire point. That we stand beneath these words and trust in our Lord Jesus, who has done what he said he would do. Jesus took the nails, he took the cross, and on a God-forsaken cross, Jesus took those nails, and in taking those nails, Jesus takes away our sin and our guilt and our shame. He hung there for us. Jesus still says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. This is the end. The end. These are the only marks that ever matter. These marks of Jesus' hands will never be erased. They are permanent and they are forevermore. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.